Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM.
Inside Football with Guillaume Balaguer
on Talk Sport.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Inside Football with me, Guillaume Balaguer. Today, I'm in conversation with Xavi Alonso, the Liverpool, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich and Spain midfielder, who has won a huge array of trophies, including a World Cup, European trophies and league titles, and of course, that famous Champions League medal in 2004-05. In this, his first season as retired professional, I come to Madrid to meet with him in a smart hotel with views of the city and a stone's throw from the Bernabeu, a city that is now his home full-time. In this meeting, we talked about that night in Istanbul, of course, but also what getting kicked in the chest by Nigel de Jong felt like, how Pep and Jose have influenced him, and of course, we discuss what next for this player, loved by fans across the globe and admired by his fellow professionals.
Alba leaves the defender on the back foot, comes back towards Xabi Alonso, and he heads the ball back across the goalkeeper and into the net, and on his 100th appearance for Spain, Xabi Alonso opens the scoring.
Gap to go through, Xabi Alonso closes it, and he's gone for it, and Harper slipped! Would you believe it? Xabi Alonso!
Alonso was the man who took the free kick.
A strong challenge, and now a shot from Alonso! And Xabi Alonso has made it four!
As the full-time whistle blows, Spain are European champions, world champions, and European champions again. There will be no dethroning tonight. History is made in Kiev. A benchmark for excellence is established.
Xabi Alonso to take it. Up his step, it's safe, followed up, top of corner, it's unbelievable! AC Milan, 3, Liverpool, 3. Andrei Shevchenko, the European Player of the Year, to keep his side in the penalty shooter, and it's safe! Liverpool are kings of Europe! 21 years on, they come of age again. They surround Jerzy Dudek at half-time. They were dead and buried. No one could quite believe this.
Xavi, first of all, do you remember the first day after you just, I don't want to say retirement, but it is retirement, because you're 36 and you retired. It just doesn't sound right.
Well, I was 35, in fact. Now I'm 36, but no, the first days were like sweet days. Well, now they are even now sweet days. I am enjoying my retirement, my new life. But the first days, I didn't even realize that I stopped what I had been doing for the last 17 years as a professional. It was like the summer break. It was like now I have around 3-4 weeks holidays and I will start a new pre-season. Somewhere going to America, going to Asia. So I didn't even realize that it was the end. Slowly I got used to it. The summer was quite long. I enjoyed it with family, and you know, it was a decision that I took. I was really conscious. I thought about it quite a long time. I kind of negotiated with myself that it was the right timing. I'm happy the way it it happened.
A lot of players retire and then they struggle next because they hadn't thought of it, or they were in this running machine that continues going, and then all of a sudden either you or your body decides to switch it off. You had kind of an idea of what's coming next?
I have an idea, but it's still early days. I guess that it still is too short to see what's going to happen with my life, what are my next plans. I don't want to commit at the moment with anything. I need to take some step back to get some distance from the game. For sure, I like it. I love it. I think that I can have some kind of impact from somewhere else where I've been for the last years. But everything comes in the right time. So at the moment, I have absolutely no rush. I am enjoying my time with my family, with weekends, with proper holidays, and we will see.
You all say that you never stop learning. Okay, so what was the last thing you learned?
I don't know, but for sure, I've been in many leagues, many countries, and many great clubs. So my career hasn't been, I admire those one club men. I love them, but my personality, I wanted to be able to experience new things, to be able to adapt to new countries, to challenge myself, to go to new countries, new clubs, and I've been lucky enough to play in top clubs for me. That they had a great history and a great present for Sociedad, Liverpool, Madrid, and Bayern. So I have learned from each country, from each club, and from each league, for sure.
Let's go back to your youth, because your English is very good, and that has obviously helped you as soon as you went to Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was because you were. Did you go to Ireland for?
Yeah, I went for a couple of summers to Ireland when I was 14, 15, and that helped me a lot. To when I first got in, when I arrived in Liverpool, I was just 22, but I had an okay level of English. Probably not good enough to pick the Scouse accent, but it was a start, and for sure it helped me a lot to be able to communicate with the players, with the fans, and to embrace and to commit to the club in a faster way.
So then, when Liverpool came about, that possibility, how did it come about, and why Liverpool?
They showed very strong interest. I had a great conversation with Rafa, and I thought that it was the right time for me to take one step and to take a big challenge. And
you know, were 20.
It was an early project in Liverpool that year. It was the first year of Rafa, and no one would have expected to have such a successful start, for sure. Not even the most optimistic guy in Liverpool, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But that. Probably that accelerated all the progress of being and embracing the culture of the club and feeling a part of Liverpool family. And it's not just a slogan; it's a fact.
You were 22.
I was 22. Yeah.
22, and famously, you lived in the Albert Dock or around
there.
Yeah,
area? I was in the docks.
And that, of course, helped you understand the whole.
Yeah, it was really close to the city, to the what was going on with the supporters. So because at that age, I didn't feel I had to be far away from the city. I preferred to be in the heart where things were happening, because I was used to that in San Sebastian, and I wanted to continue that way. Now I am a different man. I have three kids. I am 36. I don't know.
What would you live if you were
probably,
to Liverpool?
Formby. I will get a house probably now.
Formby by the beach.
Yeah. With the dog and.
Of course, but I don't know if you realize at the time you were the first Spanish player. Oh, let's put it a different way. You were the Spanish player that changed perception of our Spanish players, because what we had before were veterans that were at the end of their careers, or very young players like Cesc Fabregas or Piqué, who just arrived before they actually mature. You were the first top player from La Liga that came over to England.
Yeah, I was a good player from La Liga. You know, I don't know if top player, but I was in the national team. I had played the Euro in Portugal, but still like a project of what was I gonna become. And, you know, for me it was a big challenge. I needed to prove myself and to prove, to show everyone that I was able to. I didn't know that. So it was like, okay, Xavi, let's see what are you made of, and to prove yourself and people that I am able to play at that level. And everything, you know, went better than expected. You know, I had a good impact. I improved a lot with Rafa. Rafa taught me a lot of, you know, football things, because he had a great career and great years in Valencia. So he had a lot of prestige, and you could see that he had that. You know, from the players, we always believe in what Rafa's message, and that was very important, because for the profile of players that we had, I think that Rafa, he was a very good manager for us.
What was it that you learned?
Responsibility, how to play the games, how to prepare each game, to have a plan, not just to play the game, to commit to a plan and to try to play a plan so that you can gain advantage over the opponent. And we knew that on those days, those years, head-to-head in a two-legs game, tie, we could beat anyone.
You are listening to Inside Football with Guillem Balagué, featuring Liverpool legend Xavi Alonso. Coming up, we discuss that night in Istanbul.
Inside Football with Guillem Balagué on Talk Sport.
Do you feel that we have to reevaluate a little bit that era, because it's not just the success in the Champions League or the FA Cup, it's just that you, Rafa, that time and that work was done against the tide a little bit. That was not the done thing, the way you wanted to play, the way you wanted to control the games, the way you prepared the games, it was new.
For me, it wasn't that different. Maybe for the English guys, or for the, you know, for Sami, or for Ginjo, for the guys that they were there, it was more different. But for me, I was really, really happy that we had someone that was making us play that way, believing that way. Probably we lacked a little bit of creativity in terms of to be that good enough to win at least the Premier League, or to be closer to challenge. We were close, but we missed that edge to have that chance, and we for sure will miss that trophy in our cabinets. But in Europe, we felt good enough to beat anyone, and we beat the best Chelsea. We beat Barcelona, that just had won the Champions League against Arsenal, Madrid, Arsenal. So those were fantastic years in Champions League for us, in especially the Anfield nights were unforgettable.
I was just going to say, the big one has to be, of that era, has to be the semi-finals against Chelsea, would you say?
Yeah, probably the second. The first year, we were the underdogs. And semi-finals, second leg at Anfield, I was on the stands. And it was 90 minutes shaking. It was electrifying atmosphere, because it was like so unexpected to be that close to play a final. That it was just terrific to be able to feel that emotion, that passion, that intensity in one game. I never lived something else anywhere before.
There was electricity, and you say 90 minutes, but we were there for an hour before the game. The stadium was full an hour before the game.
But since Luis scored the goal, the goal.
Risa comes forward now, cuts and fill to Gerrard, flicks it for Barros over the keeper, brought down by Panichet, was it into the middle? Oh, was that over the line? The referee looks, the referee says, goal to Liverpool inside the opening
3 minutes, Luis Garcia, just listen to Anfield now. The place is going to explode. Liverpool are 87 minutes away from Istanbul.
Everyone was, oh, we can miss this, we can miss. We have it in our hands, we want to grab it. We won't let it slip from our hands, you know. And you had that feeling, you know, and it was meant to happen.
Can I take you to Istanbul?
We have gone through that way many times.
But let's start at the end, though, because...
trying to get some memories, I get that I have some kind of amnesia, and some of them are gone. What happened before the game, or what kind of preparation we had, some things that I can't recall.
Okay, so honestly, I'll take you to two or three things and see if we can get there. The first one, starting at the end, I was lucky enough to be part of that setup a little bit, and then ended up writing a book. And you were so gracious in victory. It was 2 or 3 hours after the game, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and you were sitting with your family around. There were chairs in a circle, and you were all having a quiet drink. And I was invited to be part of that. And the first shock was like, I thought you were well mental after winning something like this, and you were just sitting down and talking about the game with a calmness that surprised me.
Probably the euphoria was in the stadium, and we got crazy for sure. Probably we got that euphoric moment when we got back in Liverpool. Probably when we saw so many people and what it really meant for them. For sure, it meant so much for us, but it took us for some time to realize how big achievement and what did really happen. The miracle that it really happened, and even now we are here 12 years after, and everyone remembers where they were that night, you know, and wherever I go, everyone talks about Istanbul. So that's why it took us a little bit of time to realize that history was made that night.
Leonard Johansson holds the cup up, presents it to Steven Gerrard. Big smile, Turkish delight for Liverpool. They are champions of Europe. Oh, the fireworks go off, the glitter goes off. It is a sea of red and white. Flash guns all around the stadium. Liverpool are kings of Europe.
Interestingly enough, going backwards, at the moment of winning it and you go into the changing room, three people involved in that team said they got depressed, perhaps is too big a word, but they just went down in energy. And so you had given so much in the game that at that moment in the changing room, sitting down, it's like, is that it?
Yeah. It has happened to me many times when you have put so much physically, emotionally, the adrenaline, everything is gone, and you are just destroyed,
empty.
So exhausted, empty, and you can't react to the emotions, so you can't react to interact with people. When a big night or big game happens, many times I have that reaction as well, and I need some time to recharge myself, mm-hmm. to reconnect.
We're going backwards to see if I can awake some memories, so we're looking at it in a different way. The penalty is one of those sliding doors moments. So if you miss the penalty and then you miss the rebound, even though Gattuso said that from the moment the penalty was given, he felt that the final was lost. He felt, that's it. I mean, the gods are with them. But if you don't put that in, it's a different story.
Yeah, it could have been a different story for sure for myself, for all my teammates, for all the staff, and for the supporters and for the club, because we were not able to sing. We got it 5 times. No, probably the song wouldn't exist. So for sure it was like at that point that makes the difference between being part of history or not being part of history. And it was my first professional penalty.
Really?
It was my first professional penalty, you know.
You took the ball as if it was your 100th. You took the ball as if it was your 100th. It's me taking this one.
When you see the images, you see that my face was, wow, this is, I'm taking big responsibility. I wasn't feeling nervous, but I was, well, this is a big call, Xavi. Let's try to get it right. And you know, some kind of drama, but at the end, mission was accomplished. And you know, when I had that feeling that something meant for us, it wasn't in the penalty. It was when Jerzy made it that save to Shevchenko. I said, "Well, this is unbelievable. The gods are with us, and it has to be for us."
Okay, one more thing from that final. Let's go through the halftime. So you are 3-0 down, and Kaká is doing a lot of damage, a lot of space in midfield. Hernán Crespo having fun as well. So you fill the gaps. Rafa and Paco Ayestarán, Rafa Benítez, Paco Ayestarán, walking into the long tunnel of the Ataturk, start saying two things we need to do. One, we need to fill that gap with somebody else. Haman, go and warm up. And two, we have to raise the troops. Say to them, remember, these guys that come so a long way.
Yeah, it was a mix of emotional side and a mix of tactical side. For sure, for me, it was a master move from Rafa to make that change, to change to 5-3-2. And there were a mix. Some players that were really down, thinking about, well, we are going to miss this great chance. And other players that we need to try. We can't give up so easily. This everyone that came, they deserve at least to for us to show a competitive spirit and team spirit. And at the end, you know, you can make those things, but sometimes they work, and that time it worked in a miraculous way.
So Traore takes his kid off and goes to the shower. And then the physio says, Finan is going to be injured, or Finan is injured. And Finan was crying, or was screaming anyway, I'm not injured, I want to keep playing. So Traore has to put his kid back on. Do you remember all that?
No. I can't remember. Yeah, so, I there was a misunderstanding about who's coming on, who's coming off, or we had to say, Rafa, there's one more player, so from the board. And at the end, everything, you know, was in the right place. We had an idea about the changes that we had to make. Didi sat with me in the midfield. Stevie took one position, later another one. But they were so wise moves.
This is 7 minutes in the changing room. As you said, Rafa at first put 10 players on the board, and you pointed out. And I remember knowing that story, and I said, I'll ask Rafa at the end of our conversations for the book about that. And he said, oh yeah, I put 10 players. But you know what? With the confusion, I actually put 12 players, and they had to tell me. And they had to tell me it was 12 players. So, and then somebody said, "Didn't we score 3 goals against Olympiakos in the second half?"
Yeah,
probably. Who said that?
I don't know. Yeah, but we have had that that great comeback as well, because actually in halftime against Olympiakos we were out of Champions League, and they were 1-0 up with Rivaldo's goal. And you know, with the last goal from Stevie, that every time I see it, it was the great first, my first great night at Anfield. That to have the chance to be still running in the Champions League, we had that great feeling, and we said, why not? We are gonna try. We kept believing, even if no one would have thought that we were gonna make it, but it did happen.
So that's Anfield, that's Liverpool. Do you see yourself standing up by the bench with being able to hear all that from the fans as manager of Liverpool? Is that something you dreamt of, you thought of?
Yeah, for sure I have dreamt of. I have to prove myself, I need to prepare, but, you know, if I decide somewhere along the way to take my chances as a manager, you know, my link, my commitment, my passion with Liverpool is there, and why not? We'll see if we can cross paths in our ways.
This is Inside Football with Guillem Balagué and Xavi Alonso. Up next, we find out what it's like to play for Jose Mourinho and Pep Guardiola.
Inside Football with Guillem Balagué on Talk Sport.
You learn a lot from Rafa. At the same time, at the end, the relationship ended up a little bit tense due to a personal situation. You talked about it. Would you tell us what happened?
Always, we have had a professional relation. You know, we we understood very well because he had very football. His approach of football was very tactical, and I was eager to learn from that. And you know, it was easier for him to explain because we spoke Spanish. So, and he gave me a lot of responsibility, and he gave me a lot of room for decision. Something that I wanted to, you know, I want his trust for me to be able to take the decisions on the pitch. And later, I have explained many times. He said to me one summer that he needed money to him.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Testing a few players, and maybe I was one of the players that I had to be sold, and I said, okay, Rafa, I'm professional and I understand you, your job is to be a manager and you have to take those calls. But that changed how I saw myself in the team. I thought that, you know, I was one of the main players, but I accepted it. I said, okay, Rafa, I understand again. And nothing happened that summer. There were a few offers, but not good enough for the club. And the next summer, I thought that it was probably the time for me to take another step, to try another challenge. It was the call from Madrid that it was a massive challenge for me as well. After 5 great years, missing few things because at that moment we had a great team, but I thought that it was the right time.
You found that football has to open the doors to the real life sometimes when the birth of your child at the Inter game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it wasn't an easy call for me because, you know, it was Champions League game, quarterfinals, playing in San Siro, and it's difficult to miss those games. Those are the games that you want to play as a professional, but, you know, I needed to decide. I want to be part of the birth of my first child, or I want to play the game. Probably I took the right decision and I don't regret. And I said to Rafa, once he's born and everything's fine, boom, I'm going straight to John Lennon Airport and I take the flight to... he saw it another way, and that's it.
Was that the first time you had to not choose between life and football, but realize that the world is bigger than football?
That was the first big call, because normally, I knew what was my job, but my job was first ahead of when I had a... I have to train or I have to again, so I can do it. But at that moment, such a big moment, for sure, the person was ahead of the football player.
Mm-hmm. At Real Madrid, you've had some of the best coaches in the world. What did you learn from them?
Well, you learn from the managers. You learn from the club that in this kind of club you need to be at top of your game. Each one is like a final, and you have a big responsibility. And if you are not ready for these challenges, you are not ready for these clubs.
So in the case of Jose Mourinho, he had to face a Barcelona that was the best in the world.
Yeah, he made because for the last few years we had a struggle. It was just 1 year, but you know, Barcelona, they were at their peak. They were playing, you know, the admiration of all the whole world. They were getting so many trophies, and Jose, he made a big impact, and he shook a little bit the basis of the club and say, oh, you need to try to fight again. Even they are fantastic, we need to try to fight against them and to try to beat them. And it was like a big shock here for the city, for the club. But some things changed, and it took a little bit of time. But I thought that probably the first year we won the cup final against them, but probably we were not in the same level. But the next year that we won La Liga with great records, we were much closer, or even at the same level.
As you said, you even won the league in the last year of Pep Guardiola in charge. But I feel that we've seen a different Jose Mourinho since then, that Real Madrid changed him. Not sure how or why, but it felt like almost like he didn't finish his business there and he had to leave a little bit too early. Do you feel the same?
Well, for sure. I guess that we were so close. We lost 3 semifinals. We all had that feeling at that moment that it was really difficult for us to accept that we were so close to being in a final and winning the Champions League. At that moment, it was crucial for us to win the Champions League. It would have been the tenth time that Real Madrid won the Champions League, and for him not to be able to accomplish that, for sure, I guess that it was he misses that moment with Real Madrid. We were lucky enough, the ones that we won the next year, and that's football cruelty. You've been there for so close, and the next one comes and wins it.
That's with Carlo Ancelotti, yeah, of course, and Zinedine Zidane as his assistant. How different was Carlo? Was Carlo what was needed at the time after the tension of the years before?
It worked, and for sure. And we ended up winning that. We won the cup, we won the Champions League that year. It was Carlo's personality, Carlo's football approach. It was different, and we felt well as well. You know, the last year with Jose, probably there were quite a little bit of tension. And we couldn't make it, but with Carlo, we were able to win it.
Before the Spanish Super Cup, there were rumours that you could leave. Bayern Munich wanted you before, but I was told no chance. After the Super Cup, perhaps because of the whistles, there were some whistles to some of the players that had been there, people were tired of the same faces, whatever it was, the whole situation changed after the Atletico Madrid Super Cup. Is that...
Yeah, one, not because of the games, because, you know, we had been chasing the Champions League, and it was such a big target for us, that once we got it, it was like, okay, business is done, mission accomplished here, and the call from Bayern came, and there was a stage, I was fine here, I was playing, I had the trust from the club, the manager, the president, good relation with everyone. But it was a moment when I had to decide. I continue here, that I don't have reasons to leave, or is they trying to try something else, to challenge myself and to learn in a different way. And I say, take it or the train leaves, or you are on or you are not. You're not taking it. And I decided that even if everything was so quickly, that I wanted to try new things, and I can't regret it.
You had Pep Guardiola in charge, and that was an experience completely different to whatever you had before, like completely to the other extreme, or?
Well, no, not to the other extreme, no, but he's very passionate, he's very analytic, and his brain is always thinking about the game, about his team, about his players. And, you know, for me, it was you know, because I was most of the time I was on the other side and from the outside watching this Barça. They play great, but there has to be a reason. And one, to be able to see that from first hand, or to be there to able, what was the process? It was great to me.
To actually do what he's doing, he has to have a complete belief in what he's doing, the energy to implement it, the energy to bring everybody on board, and you know, when there are doubts, just to convince everybody. So it's a lot of, it takes a lot of you to actually be able to play that way.
Yeah. But the first one is himself, the one that gives everything. He gives everything for his players, for his ideas, for his staff, and that's the way he lives things. After he has his football ideas, his principles, his basics, that he won't negotiate with them, and he wants everyone to be on board with those ideas. Yeah, and he makes all the efforts to make everyone to be on board for that.
That football that he's practicing, which is like Transformers, very flexible tactically and very demanding physically and mentally, and all that pressure high and all that, those demands, is that where football is going?
If you have the players, you need to have the players for sure. So it's, I don't think it's a copy paste method. You need to have the right players, you need to believe it, so it doesn't work for everyone.
You look at City, you look at Spurs, you look at Liverpool, and you see that those movements and that defending from the front, and say your teams, if you wanted to be a modern coach or a new or a coach that is it's in line with where football is going, is that how you would like your teams to play? So if you don't want to look into the future, is that any way the style that you like?
I like to control the games. I am, because, you know, my game has been there as a midfielder, as a controller of the game. My idea leans towards the control, and after you can have the control defending on your pitch or defending on the opponent's pitch. And to do that, it's so demanding for your players and for yourself to be able, because if you miss one movement, the imbalance that you create for the rest of the game or the team, it's much more dangerous than if that's created on your pitch when you have many more helps. It's very demanding, but when something is so demanding, it's much more rewarding as well.
It's a terrace that overlooks Madrid and the Santiago Bernabeu. So to finish off, can I take you there? And when you see the Bernabeu, can you share with us what you see, what you feel when you look at it? Do you mind going to the terrace here?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Not only is it a nice view, it's a nice weather. We are in, is it December?
Yeah.
And it's sunny. It's important, isn't it, that lifestyle is good as well. That you are in a city that you enjoy. So being in Madrid must have been a mixture of both being in one of the biggest clubs in the world, one of the biggest stadiums, but also in a good city.
If you are not happy away from football, probably you are not happy in football. And you need to understand those things as a supporter or as a manager, and you need to try to find the right balance between them. And for sure, you got the biggest responsibility there, and if that works, normally the other things, they work as well.
It's interesting, you're pointing out of the Santiago Bernabeu, and the first thing that comes out is responsibility. That's how you feel. The history is so big.
Yeah. And to be able to win the respect of the people, the fans in Bernabeu, they are very, very demanding. So you need to do things right, not to show off, not to be like a player for the gallery, I mean. And you need to be a real player. And once you show that, I think that you gain the respect of the people there.
You've decided to move to Madrid to live. Is that because you had a house before, or because the city?
Well, it's a great city, and we lived here for 5 years. We have very good friends. We are very close to San Sebastián, where we are from. So, yeah, it made a lot of sense for the present and for the future.
In the window, we see, as well as the sun, a church and a church. The church being the Santiago Bernabeu, next to it, a really big church as well, a Catholic church. That's Spain, isn't it, in just one picture?
Yeah, and especially in Madrid, they have so much importance, both the both institutions, because Madrid is like an institution here in Madrid and in Spain, and it means so much for the people on the streets.
This is Inside Football with Guillem Balaguer and World Cup winner Xavi Alonso.
Inside Football with Guillem Balaguer on Talk Sport.
You believe the evolution of the Premier League, the last few years changed dramatically. How would you qualify that change from where you were there to the Premier League now?
Not just the Premier League. I think that football, it's becoming more sophisticated, I would say. Much more flexible, much more analytic. But you need to share all those focuses with the passion, with the heart, with the tempo, with the pace. If you are able to combine both things, because if it's not the same if you pass a weak pass or a good pass, that changes all the tempo of all the actions that are coming for to create the advantage with the tactical movement that you have think about. So you need to be able to say you have to play that way, but not in any way. You have to play with that sense and with that, you know, that heart, that passion.
Have you spoken to any of the managers that you've been with? And because some of the managers that are in charge now in Premier League teams have spoken in depth about passion. They don't see the passion of players as they had as players or in previous years. Is that changing, you think?
I don't think so. I think that the passion is there. I think that you need to, for sure, you need to, as a manager, for me, it's one of the toughest tasks are the players to be focused and to have priorities in the lives and in the game about what's important and what's not so important. And to be that leader to show them and to convince them, for me, it's probably one of the most difficult tasks of the manager to be that that one that convinces the players to live as a football player and to have the priority of football ahead of everything.
As a child, you moved to Barcelona because of your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were aware as well who your dad was very early on. You went to watch him.
Yeah, sure.
Went to watch him. And he was, of course, international with Spain, was in the World Cup for Spain, and he played again with Maradona. Has he ever told you many stories about that time?
Well, because my father, he has never been telling us many stories, but for sure, you know, knowing the early days of Maradona in Barcelona, how he came and the way he played and the way he lived, we have heard a few things about him. And for sure, football for me, it has come in a very natural way because I have lived it since I was 4 or 5 years. I was able to go to the trainings of Barcelona, or to Sabadell, or to go to with Eibar when my father was a coach. So my education has been around football. So after to become a professional, I have like lived it in a more normal way.
In the streets? Did you play in the streets in Barcelona? You did?
Yeah, in the streets in Barcelona, and mainly in Donosti, in San Sebastián.
And you ever scored a World Cup winning goal in the street?
World Cup, many World Cup. For us, were World Cup finals, most of them.
And did you shout it, "We won the World Cup!
This is the one!" We were like, so... We wanted the game and to all the, we wanted to get all the shirts from the teams and the boots and the balls and.
And did you ever shout, "And Xabi Alonso scored the winning goal of the World Cup"? Well, you have won a World Cup.
Even my brother and I, we had like a recorder. It wasn't an iPhone, of course. It was like a recorder, and we used to interview ourselves.
Really?
What do you think about the game? We were just 10, 12 years old.
Have you got those tapes?
No. Luckily, they are. I don't know where they are, but they would be fun.
And that will be after the game in the street.
Yeah. When we got home, and mom, Xavi, Mikel, come home. Okay, we got. Xavi, what do you think of the game? Mikel, yeah.
Did Mikel interview you?
Yeah.
Or the other way around?
No, both were around.
Brilliant. So, but anyway, you just happened to have won a World Cup anyway. From
but I never thought about it. It was so far away that I never even dreamed of being able to win it.
To finish off, let's pick three moments from that World Cup. The first one, you need the luck as well as the talent to actually manage to go that far. And there was a penalty missed against Paraguay. Obviously, we went through, but it needed Casillas to save one as well. So how important it is, say for a nation like England, who are trying to find themselves, and they all trying to explain it via, I don't know, the lack of strength after a strong the calendar or the lack of quality. But you need that moment of luck, don't you?
I think that to win the World Cup, to win the Euro, or even to win the Champions League, along the way, you need a moment of luck, that moment that changes everything, that detail that can be so, can determine the future or the path of a team. Always live in with Champions League with Liverpool, Champions League with Madrid, the first Euro with Spain with the penalties, the World Cup with those penalties, the save of Iker in the final to Arjen Robben, not the last Euro in 2012 when we played the best game I have ever played in the final against. So there are a few things that in football, luckily, you can control, that they just happen, and they can happen your way or the other way around.
And then let's jump into the final. Football is full of pictures, iconic moments and days. The young, the knock to your chest. And I've read when you explain about that situation that you kind of had to reset yourself.
At the moment, I didn't realize what happened. I said, what the hell happened here? What came in my chest? Because I felt something that I had never felt before. It was so strong, so direct, the impact on my chest, that I couldn't even breathe. But I was on the ground, on the floor, and I'm sorry, this is the World Cup final. You can miss this. You need to carry on. You need to carry on. And I kept going, not feeling perfectly, but I kept going.
Did all that stay on the rest of the game? That either pain or confusion or
no confusion, pain. Yeah, I had to go through pain, but you know, it was worth it.
And then there was the Arjen Robben chance,
and it's put wide. Great save from Casillas. Arjen Robben was through. So much time to think about it. Drew Casillas hit it towards the bottom left-hand corner, and he's blocked it with his right thigh and put it behind for a corner.
I was in the media stands. I stood up and started kicking a chair. I don't understand my reaction, but it was like I cannot even explain it. It was a moment of madness.
Yeah.
How did you feel on the pitch as well?
I can't remember, but you need to be a saint, and Iker has that same moments along his career. And we all remember and we all love him for that moment, because he changed our professional our lives. And it was unbelievable. And each time I see the action, I am still shaking.
In case it goes in. And then, of course, the Iniesta goal, which he describes it as, he felt like the whole stadium went silent. And you could even hear the knock of the ball as if that was the only sound at that moment. How did you leave that?
Yeah, I think I lived it very emotionally, but the way he describes it, the ball is going up and he's seeing it fell and come in the right position for him to kick, and the silence, it's very like poetic, that moment for him to describe that way.
Iniesta, clever backheel flick from him. Fabregas works it round the corner. Fernando Torres has got it on the left-hand side now. Torres clipping it inside the box. A very tired challenge gets it away. Fabregas through. It's Iniesta to win the World Cup for Spain. That's the goal that surely sees them crowned champions of the world.
When the action happens, you can see that he's feeling that way. And you know, it meant the world for us. We had the feeling that we were the kings of the world for those moments, and too, because we were living so great things, coming from the Euro, winning the World Cup, and for us it was filled privilege for all our lives.
It has taken 80 years, but Spain are the champions of the world. Casillas in tears again as he lifts the trophy to the heavens. Finally, the great underachievers of world football have their hands on the biggest prize of all. Spain, the world champion.
Iker Casillas grasps the European Championship trophy and thrusts it into the night Kiev sky. Spain are kings of Europe again. A remarkable treble has been achieved. European world and European glory again. The most consistently successful international team in history. Spain are immortal.
Well, that finished the chat with Xabi Alonso. I have the impression you have just discovered why he's loved not just by Liverpool fans. Now we will have to impatiently wait to see what kind of manager he will become. Would he be as structured as Rafa Benitez? As tactically flexible as Pep Guardiola? Would he use the press like Jose Mourinho? Would he just let the players rule like Ancelotti or Del Bosque? Meanwhile, it has been a pleasure to stop with him along this fascinating football journey he has undertaken, which has allowed him to discover new cultures, new languages, new way of doing things. For him, clearly, football is life and life is football. Thanks for listening and hasta luego.
Inside Football with Guillaume Balaguet on Talk Sport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.